Hello, everyone. Welcome to Unfiltered Fitness Radio. I am joined today by my temporary permanent co-host, Jess. How are you today, Jess?
Good. How are you?
Good. So Jess is joining me, you guys. We're going to do a little rapid fire Q&A, answering some of your questions on Instagram. Got some good ones about maintenance, reverse dieting, needing some encouragement. Jess, you want to kick it off? You want to?
Yeah, I'll just go ahead with the first one and then everybody can get ready with their questions for next week when you put up in the next box.
So I know I sometimes these get good traction, but I mean, it's always just easier to answer questions with more nuance, because I know you love nuance and I love nuance. And, you know, when someone asks a question on Instagram, hey, I'm struggling at maintenance. What should I do? There's so much more that I could say than I can say in a minute little Instagram story.
Yeah, for sure. We love the details. So
we love the details.
All right. I'm at 1800 calories and still hungry, pushing hard in the gym and thought it was my maintenance, but my weight has gone up 3 pounds in the last 2 months. The clothes are snug as well. Should I cut or stick with it? My body composition is not great either.
Okay. So first question, I feel like there was a lot to kind of maybe unpack here. And obviously if I'm talking to you, if I'm seeing your pictures, if I'm seeing your training, I can give you more details, but you know, I think, you know, 3 pounds in the last 2 months, the way I like to kind of think about that is think about the 3 pound or the 2 pound dumbbell at the gym and picking that up, that little green one or little pink one, depending on what gym you're at. That is and that's distributed all over your body. Are we sure that that was fat gain? Right. And, you know, is it possible that some of that is muscle? Is it possible that some of it is water, that you're more stressed? You know, I don't know, when you increase to 1800 calories relative to the 3 pound weight gain, but we know that as you increase carbohydrates, you store, you know, more water in your muscles. With that, more food volume, so that can show up on the scale. Now, she said, I'm assuming she, because 1800 calories, but she said that clothes are getting snug as well. So where are they getting snug? I feel like is sometimes a good kind of question to ask, because females, a lot of times it's your sports bra gets tighter. And is it because you're getting fat or because your lats are growing, right? Are your shorts tighter because your glutes are bigger or because your waist is bigger? I think those are some, you know, kind of good questions to ask. And, you know, body composition, not great either. Where were we starting from? I highly doubt that 3 pounds made a drastic dent to your body composition from where you started. So, I mean, initially reading this, I would say keep going, especially if you've never really given it a solid amount of time. And when I say a solid amount of time, I mean, at least 6 months of being in a solid maintenance or, you know, slight surplus. If you've never, you know, spent 6 months or longer in that phase without just jumping back into a cut, I think it would really, really benefit you physically as well as mentally to just kind of, you know, stick with it and not go back to cutting, which is, you know, an easy kind of default response when you feel a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, I would definitely say, especially because she said that she's pushing hard in the gym. I mean, is some of that inflammation too? I don't know.
Right.
I mean, the clothes definitely with, I don't know, like you said, getting tighter. Definitely for me, that's happened around my sports bra. That's one thing where I'm like, wait a second. But it just, when you really think about it, then it makes a lot more sense. And at 3 pounds, I don't know. I think you're the only person that notices that, you know?
Totally. And I mean, over the last 2 months, yes, in maintenance, we kind of want to be roughly maintaining, but you also maintain your calorie or your weight within a range. You know, and if you are in a building phase, gaining 1 to 2 pounds a month, would be a good rate of gain, you know, I would say, you know, roughly that, depending on if you're a beginner or more advanced in the gym. But I think you bring up a good point too, as far as like training inflammation. I don't think I touched on that. You know, that definitely could be it, especially if you are training hard, pushing close to failure. And then there's also like a difference between like, I'm pushing so hard, like you're racking up a whole bunch of fatigue. Like, are you pushing so hard because you're training 6 days a week and doing four sets of 12 of 10 exercises and you're just, you know, exhausted? Or, you know, are you training for, you know, progressive overload and, you know, you're, you know, adding muscle mass and, you know, kind of training hard that way? Like, either way, you're going to build up fatigue. But I tend to find that too much volume tends to make you feel like kind of watery, inflamed, more so than pushing intensity. If that makes sense, like kind of, you know, the junk volume people are more kind of like at risk, let's say, for the inflammation than people, you know, training with like a recoverable amount of volume to failure.
Yeah, no, definitely. That kind of leads into our next question. So this person is just asking for some encouragement for someone trying to find their maintenance and they're feeling less lean and they're also a little scared of fat gain, like us all.
Like us all. Definitely been there to whoever asked this and trying to find maintenance. So that makes me think that they are maybe like reversing or maybe coming out of a cut. And, you know, kind of slowly increasing their food. So, you know, like with that, like I would say like feeling less lean, like sometimes like feelings aren't facts. And I kind of like hate that saying sometimes because I don't want it to like invalidate like how you're feeling. Cause I think feelings are real, but they're not always accurate, if that makes sense. So sometimes if you are reversing and, you know, coming out of a deficit or somebody that was like kind of chronically under eating, as you increase your food, you're just not like used to like feeling full. And that can like mess with your brain a little bit. Like, I mean, I'm sure you relate to that. I didn't even like intro you, but Jess, she is retired for now, bikini competitor. Can we say that?
Yeah. No, that's fair.
Yeah. Former athlete. Well, always an athlete, but softball player. Definitely has been training for a hot minute now, counts her macros like a pro, lives the lifestyle. So, you know, I know you've definitely kind of been there too, as far as like, you know, that feeling, like, especially like post show, for example, when you are like so depleted, like starting to eat a meal with like more than like 40 grams of carbs. It's like, oh my gosh, this is so much food. And it's like, well, like, not really.
Yeah. And then also in that maintenance phase too, I'm sure you're trying to find some like life flexibility and that's scary. And there's a lot to work through there. But the more you do it, I would say the easier it gets. You have to go through that and not every time you feel a little bit uncomfortable, just stopping, you have to just keep going for it. And then it gets easier.
Totally. It's hard because it's easier to say once you've been through it, you know, when you're in it, it's hard to kind of see that. But if you can really trust the process, trust the work, like trust like what you're doing is benefiting you in the grand scheme of things, it'll definitely get easier. And, you know, like trusting your body, you know, too, I feel like is huge here. Like, hey, like my body is going to know what to do with these calories. Like it's going to, you know, help fuel me. And, you know, fat gain, like, yeah, like we want to avoid like excessive fat, whatever that means, but maybe a little bit of fat, you know, isn't the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like kind of what I said earlier about maintenance being a range, you know, it's like you maintain your calories within a range, you maintain your weight within a range. So not trying to control it so tightly, because that just leads to stress. And we know if you're stressing, like it's going to increase cortisol, it's going to, you know, make you hold more water, and that's not going to help, you know, any of the body image kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Well, so I think we covered that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. All right. So next question. I have goals of competing for a show in 2024, but I don't know where to start.
God, like she's like asked that question. I was like, oh, 2024, and it's freaking October 2023. Like, I can't believe this
Wild.
year. But yeah, I mean, I think that's awesome. Having a goal of, competing next year, not knowing where to start. So I would say starting with looking at getting a coach now, or at least like getting on like a solid training program that you're consistent with, like having some structure to your meals, whether that's tracking macros, having like a meal plan of sorts or a calorie protein goal, starting to kind of have, some habits in place. I feel like the sooner that you can find your coach, definitely the better as far as prep goes, because like say, you have a consult with me now, like in October, and I might, recommend to you like, hey, like I think we would really benefit from a initial like fat loss phase to set you up to be in a good spot, to prep. Like depending on, where you're at now, body composition wise, like we don't want to have to go into a prep and lose 40 pounds, right? As a female, like bikini or, kind of smaller athlete. Like we want to kind of be in a good kind of range body fat and weight wise from, roughly where we need to be for stage. And not like be, you know what I mean? Like have like a realistic kind of rate of loss. And then on the, kind of other side of that, like, do we have enough muscle mass? And, I think like there's, you'll see some people like that say like, oh, you have to have a certain amount of muscle mass to compete. Like, yes, but also no. Like, I think if it's your first show, like you're going to be probably, you're not going to win your pro card the first go around, right? Or get to a national stage the first go around. Like everyone has to have a first show. So, I think, just having, someone in your corner sooner than later who can start learning your body and, kind of helping you out, getting you set up for success and putting together a timeline together is really important. And then just having like those foundational habits in place, like meal prep, like I said, with the training, being able to pivot, I feel like is really important before you go into a prep. When you say that, like if the store is out of your chicken, like you know how to like make an alternative choice and not like lose your shit about it. Like kind of like some of these kind of like, kind of basic as far as the lifestyle side of it.
Yeah, like, is it a good time for you in your life to go through it? You have to think about everything that goes into it. Like, do you have a family? Do you have a husband? Are they on board? How's that going to be? And just where you're starting from, like you said, have you competed before? Which I would assume asking, well, I guess you shouldn't assume. Maybe they have, and just now they have goals of competing again. So, are you recovered? Are you ready?
Yeah,
Like you
like
said.
those are like the health kind of like prereqs, right? Like to have in place. Like we don't want to, I don't know, be like in it, have an injury or like not have, a period or something like that. Like we want to be in a pretty good space, health-wise before starting that prep. And then like you said too, like life-wise, like are you planning to move in February? Maybe we look at a show like in the fall and, start a prep in April, for example.
Yeah, and think about like, why do you want to compete? What else goes on behind that thought? And then that'll help you determine like your goals and where to start and where you want to go and all of that good stuff too. Just really think it through.
Yeah, that's important. I was just like, I had a client, we're kind of talking about next year plans and stuff and just really having that solid why. And like you said, like, for her talking to her husband, like making sure like he was on board, like, as a family, because it can be like a selfish sport, especially at the end of prep, like when you're having to do, cardio every single day, or, you're just having to bring your Tupperware to family gatherings, can't really travel, stuff like that. So yeah, I think, oh, and then the other thing I wanted to say was go to a show if you've never been to a show. I feel like that's really important.
Yeah, that's definitely a good one. I also like how you said about your planning with your client. Like, I like how you set up different not different plans, but different sections throughout the year, different phases. That was the word I was going for. Sorry, everybody. But yeah, different phases. And then you know what you're going into, and one phase gets you ready for the next one, and you can go through that way. So you also, if you're thinking about competing for a show, you also have to think about the before and the after. So yeah, there's a lot to it.
Yeah. Like the reverse diet, like that's so important. And I mean, financially too, like, are you in a good spot to, you know, have a coach for your entire prep? And then I would say for at least like 3-4 months after, to get you, you know, out of that kind of reverse and those kind of initial stages, ideally longer. And then like the cost of competing too, like that would be, there's like so many YouTube videos out there too, of like different competitors, like talking about like stuff like that. But like, you want to budget your suit. I mean, if you buy a new suit, like a nice suit, $600-700, there's definitely ways to like save money, like renting a suit. I've had clients do that, can be an option, and that's like $200 or something like that.
Yeah. And then just, I know that all seems like a lot, and it is a lot, but if you want to do it and go for it, and you don't know where to start, just start with one thing at a time and just go for it, and you'll have a great time, and you'll learn a lot about yourself in the process, and it'll be great. So good luck to you.
Good luck. Yeah. I think going to a show, if you can, and then, you know, depending on where you live, or just watching a whole bunch of like YouTube videos, and just like, if that like lights you up, then you'll know. Like, I think that's a good way to kind of know if it's for you. Like, if you go to a show and you're like, what the hell is going on? You might want to be like, oh, like maybe it's not a good why for me. Like, maybe I do something else.
Yeah.
But it sounds like they know that that's what they want.
Yeah, for sure. So Miss Sarah, what are your favorite carb sources? And also, can you explain too much fiber?
Ooh, those kind of go together, because a lot of like my favorite carbs also have fiber in them. And there definitely is such a thing as too much fiber when we think about like digestion, and when we think about like pre post workout meals, things that are going to help fuel training. But carb sources, so I would say like on my highest carb days, which right now, so my leg days are 365 grams of carbs, and my upper body days are 285. So it's a good bit of carbs. And on those days, I do a ton of white rice, like jasmine rice, jasmine basmati. There's nothing special about jasmine rice. I just like it better. So I do a lot of rice, a lot of cream of rice, and those things digest very well for me. Potatoes. I'm also like, I eat a lot of potatoes. Like we buy them at Costco. So if that gives you a rough idea for how many potatoes I eat, fruit is also a big one. And I don't really do like, I do like some like root veggies and stuff. I do oatmeal, but I don't do like a ton of like oats or stuff like that, like on a training day, just because the fiber does build up. And for me, I find for me like 30 to 35 grams of fiber is a good like sweet spot. But everyone's going to have their own kind of sweet spot as far as fiber goes. And it's definitely something that you can train up. Like, I have clients that are fine at like 45 grams, 50 grams even, but it's because they've kind of like slowly increased that over time. And it's relative to the amount of calories that they're eating. And, you know, then I have seen like other people that, depending on, you know, again, like where they're at, you know, really like 25 to 28 is kind of like more of a sweet spot for them. But as far as like too much fiber goes, like that's where like you'll see like having a lot of like bloating, a lot of like GI issues, maybe constipation, maybe just like feeling like sluggish, like before your training sessions. Like, you don't necessarily want to have like a huge bowl of oatmeal with blueberries and flax seeds right before you go train, right? Because those carbs are going to be slower to digest, whereas cream of rice and banana pre-workout will have less fiber, and those carbs will be more readily available, easy to digest, easy for your body to absorb. And you won't go into the gym like feeling like as heavy. I personally like hate that feeling, like especially on legs. Like, I hate like feeling like super bleh, like bogged down. I don't know if you relate to that. Like, upper body days, I can train later in the day, like with a couple meals in me, but like leg days, like I like to train with just like one meal.
Yeah, definitely. I agree.
But yeah, like the people that I see eating too much fiber, like those are going to be my like people that come to me and are like volume eaters. So clients will come to me and I look at their food diaries and there's like no simple carbs. It's all vegetables. It's all things like, you know, sweet potato maybe, but like mostly like, yeah, like maybe there's like some nuts and stuff like that, but like a lot of vegetables and all that vegetable fiber is just so hard on your body to break down, or a lot of like fake fibers. So things like Quest bars or, oh, what are some others? Quest bars are like the biggest culprit that come to my mind. Oh, those wraps. Some of those wraps, like I'll see on a client's food diary. I'm like, why all of a sudden did we jump to 50 grams of fiber and you were all at like 25? If you know what was going on. Oh, and go ahead.
I found this gluten-free bread that I thought was awesome. It's called Carbonaut. Carbonaut.
Okay,
Oh,
anything low carb is going to be a
but
big culprit for these fibers.
it
Yeah.
tasted so good. And I was like, this is amazing. And then I looked, and each piece was 14 grams of fiber. So it was 28 grams in a sandwich. And then that's if you're eating other, like a normal person amount of fiber, you're all of a sudden you're at like 50 grams of fiber. I was like, ouch.
Yeah, like it's, I don't find many people that can go to 50 grams without GI issues. Like I do have some people that can do like the 45 to 50, but past that, yeah, like it's just a lot. What else has like those fake fibers in them? Some like syrups and candies and stuff. I would say the wraps. Oh, and you know those Miracle Noodle things? Have you ever
Oh,
eaten them?
yeah.
Those are terrible for your gut. Don't eat those. Like everyone I like I'll look at like clients' food diaries. I'm like, okay, your fiber shot up, your weight shot up. What changed? Like, what's different in your food diary here?
Yeah, there's definitely so much. There's definitely something. What's that saying
So
about?
there
There
is,
is
wait.
definitely too much of a good thing.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, I mean, like I do find like for me, like off season, like fruit, like doing a little more fruit over veggies on like training days when my carbs are higher definitely sits a lot better. And even like looking at like things like swapping like your fruits, like for example, like doing strawberries or, you know, banana instead of raspberries, you know, and apples might be, you know, an easy way to kind of adjust your fiber intake, up or down, depending on kind of what you need. But as far as like finding that fiber sweet spot too, and just anything here, like I think people are so afraid to experiment. Like people are so afraid to just like try something. Like they'll like ask me like on Instagram or whatever, like what's the like perfect pre-workout meal, or can I have this post-workout? And it's like, well, try it, like see how you feel, like just notice it.
Yeah, if you pay attention to it, then you'll figure out it out. I think too, my favorite carb sources when I think about it, I same thing, like rice cakes, potatoes. I really just say pumpkin. We forgot
Pumpkin. Yes, I forgot
it's a big
pumpkin.
one for us.
We
Big,
are we're
big pumpkin girls.
I love so I'm like the only one that buys it like, you know, in July. So I love when it's like fall and I'm like not a weirdo with it on my, you know, on my grocery, you know, whatever that's called, belt. But yeah, pumpkin's a good one. Cereal, I do cereal too. I like Honey Nut Cheerios usually, just because that's what Mike likes too, my husband. So like Costco
Yeah.
Honey Nut Cheerios, I'll do that. Like post workout, or what's the one I just posted about? It's like the ch children's one. It's like, oh, it's called Enviro Kids, I think is the brand. I forget which one I have, but it's like chocolate. It's like a cocoa puff. It's like a super
Okay.
yuppie hippie, like, you know, no sugar added, whatever, like they say. Like it's
Somebody told me I was hip today, and I said, I'm definitely a little
yeah, definitely a little crunchy, but I don't know about hip. But yeah, I like cereal
Seven
and stuff.
Sundays. Have you ever had Seven Sundays cereal?
No.
They have like sunflower seed cereal, which okay, sounds scary, but it's they have chocolate ones really good. And then they also have like an oat cereal.
I'll have to
It's
look for that.
really good.
Yeah.
So yeah, big cereal girl too. I also, since we've talked about it, but I've been trying to keep my breakfasts consistent. And I've been eating the Creatures of Habit oatmeal, and it's just overnight oats. So I'd say as of recent, I'm on an oatmeal kick also, his favorite carb.
Yeah, I feel like the Mind Pump guys talk about that one a lot. Mm-hmm. I've heard of that one. I think it's like a plant protein oatmeal.
Yeah, and they have different, I'm a sucker for flavors. So they have like blueberry banana and maple caramel. I'm like, sure, go for it.
Yeah, that's a good, like easy kind of option. Yeah, there's so many good carbs out there. Like,
you know, we're so good at talking about food.
I know, not just, I know we got so excited. But yeah, right. don't feel like all your carbs have to come from the produce section.
Yeah, that's a great.
Especially if you're training, like training hard, like context here. Like if you sit on the couch all day, like I probably won't recommend Honey Nut Cheerios, but you know, if you're active, like get some good, you know, fast acting sugars, especially pre-post workout.
Yeah. Don't be afraid of a carb.
Won't kill ya.
No, ma'am. All right. Let's bring it home with a fun question.
Ooh, fun questions. I'm yep. scared.
All right. Name five people, dead, alive, or fictional, that you'd invite to a dinner party.
So that's hard because do they have to all get along or can they just?
I mean, you can make it as interesting, entertaining for yourself. People throwing food. I don't know what you got going on.
Okay, let's go Walt Disney. I feel like I'd be curious to hear his story. Maybe he'd have some good stories. And then maybe J.R.R. Tolkien. And then fictional. I'm picturing somebody from Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones.
Okay. It doesn't have to be fictional.
Okay. So it can be just be anyone?
Just anyone. Yeah.
Let's get some like kind of maybe like fitness ones too. I feel like talking to, we could have Arnold there. Arnold Schwarzenegger. That would be kind of cool. And Ronnie, mm-hmm. Ronnie Coleman.
There you go.
It's going to be a weird ass combo. And let's have Oprah as well.
All right. sounds good to me.
I needed someone that could talk to everybody. So I said Oprah.
She'll be the moderator.
Yeah, she can be the moderator of this weird ass dinner party.
There you go. So all of you guys listening at home, think about your dinner party. Feel free to send Sarah or I your messages on Instagram and questions and tell us about your dinner party.
Yeah, I'll definitely have Jess's info in the show notes. I feel like we had some good questions. They all kind of tied in with each other and we'll definitely do this again. So if you have any questions, if you liked this format, let us know, and we will see you next time on Unfiltered Fitness Radio.